What's up, everyone, and welcome to Mound Talk Podcast. This podcast is created by a college pitcher to interview professional pitchers, both current and former. In this podcast, we dive into their experience becoming a pro and their journey. Joining me on this episode of Mound Talk Podcast is Austin Warner, who's a left-handed pitcher in the St. Louis Cardinals organization. Austin has a very unique story. From being an undrafted senior at Bellarmine University, he signed to play independent league ball with the River City Rascals. After roughly a year and a half there, he signed with the St. Louis Cardinals in 2017. So far in the Cardinals organization, Warner has cruised through the levels and reached up to AAA. Now waiting for his chance in the majors, Warner talks to us about his experience the whole way. With such a unique story, let's go ahead and dive into the interview. All right, so I'm joined here by Austin Warner for the St. Louis Cardinals organization. Do you mind going ahead and telling us about yourself?
Name's Austin Warner. I'm a left-handed pitcher with the Cardinals. Went to a small school, Bellarmine University in Kentucky. Actually, they just went D1. That's starting this spring for baseball. They're Atlantic Sun. After that, went to indie ball for a year. Signed with the Cardinals midway through my second year indie ball, and then been there since.
So you're talking about you went to Bellarmine. That's now a D1. At the time, it was a D2. And a little bit, are you kind of salty about that, or is it just kind of like that's awesome to see them move up?
It's cool to see him move up. I mean, that was kind of, I mean, when I was being recruited by not the head coach now, but the one before, I had my freshman year, then Larry Owens moved in, the head coach there now. He's done a great job there. But that was kind of something that they were talking about, and they almost like used it as a recruiting ploy. Mm. Like, hey, we're going to be D1 soon. And they just tried to sell a lot sooner than it actually was, which they didn't know. They knew they were working on it, and being a good basketball school, that helped them out. So, no, it's cool that they're getting there, yeah.
So what kind of, helped you decide to go there when you were, in your recruiting process in high school?
I wanted to go somewhere where I'd play. Like, I didn't want to go to, a bigger school. Like, I talked with the University of Louisville in Kentucky, being from the state of Kentucky. So going to Louisville, I probably would have maybe gotten a handful of innings as a freshman. Kentucky would have had a little bit more of an opportunity to throw. I knew I'd go to Bellarmine, and if not being in the rotation, which I wasn't my freshman year, I got plenty of time as a freshman. I got my innings. That's something that I've done every year since college and even before. Like, I always get my innings, whether I throw 80 in college and then go to the Northwoods League and throw 50, or indie ball to minor league ball, or just a full minor league season in the rotation, I'm always getting 100 plus, almost 150 innings.
Was it kind of tough?
Go ahead. Just being from home helped too. Like, Bellarmine's, 30 minutes from where I'm still living now. So it was close. Maybe probably wouldn't have been somewhere. I don't think I would have ended up going to a small D2 school that was 10 hours away from home. Mm-hmm. If that was the case, I probably would have ended up at Louisville or Kentucky, something like that.
I was going to ask if it was tough to turn down Louisville and Kentucky, being close from there, but I guess, Bellarmine, like you said, yeah, 30 minutes away, it's not hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, I just wanted to play. I didn't want to go sit for a year or two. I didn't feel like that would be beneficial to me. And maybe I would have gone to one of those schools and been fine. And then going to the Northwoods League out of there, I saw how in high school, to me, JUCO seemed like something that if you were going to the JUCO, you either had bad grades or you weren't getting any offers. And that's just the way it was portrayed around here. And I wish someone would have told me that wasn't the truth, because that would have been something cool for me, like going to JUCO, throw well, go to the Northwoods League, throw well. And then I saw guys on my team in the Northwoods in Mankato just sign all over the country at big schools at JUCOs. And it's definitely a way to do it.
So you talked about going to the Northwoods League. What year of college did you do that?
I did that after my sophomore and junior year.
Okay. Go ahead.
I went 2 years there.
Okay.
2 years to Mankato, yeah.
What would you say is the difference, obviously, the whole setup's different, but like competition-wise, going from, your D2, your school, to now the Northwoods League, is there much of a competition difference?
Yes and no. There wasn't, I think I expected more than there was. It seemed like both years I was there, the guys who were putting up the best numbers weren't the big, like UCLA, Texas, TCU, LSU guys. They're all the JUCO guys or the smaller schools. It was definitely competitive, and it wasn't anything I wasn't ready for though.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? I mean, obviously you went, it was 4 years at Bellarmine?
Yes.
So you went your 4 years. When did you kind of start to think like, okay, like I could go pro, like I could, you know, you went to indie ball first, but like, when is it kind of like in the picture? Like, hey, like maybe college isn't it for me.
I mean, obviously that's kind of a dream that we've all had since we were little. So, I mean, I never counted myself out, but I mean, going to Bellarmine, there's been maybe three or four guys drafted from there ever. And I'm not one of them. Like I'm not, mm-hmm. I'm one of the guys that signed out of, that signed out after the fact. So we had probably the Northwoods, like when I just saw myself being successful in a league that had a little higher competition level. And then just when there's not teams talking to you, but teams that you know are at least looking at you just mm-hmm. from talking to other people, coaches and stuff like that. It just got a little bit more real. Threw in an all-star game in the Northwoods League my second year there. And then I had had a really small offer to like skip my senior year and sign with the Reds, just not okay. something worth skipping out on college. And then went from there.
So I never knew that. So, you know, after your senior year, or I guess towards the end of your senior year, was the draft in the picture? Was it kind of like, you know, I have a chance, maybe not draft, but free agency, or what was the kind of like your mindset, right? The, I guess, end of the season.
The draft was in the picture. I had a few teams tell me, like, just be ready. Three or four teams tell me just be ready for a phone call like day three of the draft, which is what used to be rounds 10 through 40. So stuff like that. I mean, that could have been, and it would have been a senior sign. It wouldn't have been like I'm sitting there waiting on a bunch of money. It's just mm-hmm. Just a chance and a plane ticket pretty much. So, but I ended up, I had a partial UCL tear going into mm-hmm. my senior year when I finished that year in the Northwoods. So teams knew that. We had to tell teams that. So you go into, I threw a healthy year at school that year, but it's just like that's in the back of their mind. I'm already a fringy D2 guy, and then you throw elbow issues into it. It kind of, I'm sure, scared some people away. So then didn't get drafted, obviously. And a few weeks after that, signed up with River City.
So you said you had a partial UCL tear. Does that, you know, well, first off, did it kind of like, did you sit out much of the fall? Was it something that like, you know, maybe didn't make you available as many games in the spring, or did it pretty much just like one of those, like, oh, it's physically partial torn, but I feel great.
I missed the fall. I had a PRP injection, and that was mm-hmm. that was the like rehab for that. That was the fix, the PRP injection. And then just pure rest, like no, like weightlifting, no running, just cause you don't want to flush the plasma out of your blood. Cause that's what's there trying to regenerate the ligament. So kind of took it really slow all fall, and then had plenty of time to build it up in the spring. And I mean, I threw 75, 80 innings, so I didn't miss out in the spring.
And so did that just, I mean, since then, has it been pretty much gone in the past?
Yeah, it's been fine.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Was the, so I'm guessing that was probably when the PRP was a pretty new idea.
Yeah, it was pretty new. It was pretty experimental is what they were calling it then. So, mm-hmm. Like as to where insurance wouldn't pay for that.
Wow.
So, wasn't ridiculously expensive, and it was definitely worth it, as in taking about 6 to 10 weeks of like sitting out and then a throwing program versus 9 months and then starting a throwing program. Yeah.
So, you know, like you said, it was worth it, but like, was it kind of nerve wracking knowing, okay, like this like injection could just be, you know, a pause on time. Like when I start throwing again, I'll need Tommy John, or was it kind of like, shoot, let's do this.
I mean, it was let's try, because I knew I wasn't going to get drafted if I missed my senior year and went back for mm-hmm. a fifth year. You know, I would have to do, you already had to put up stupid numbers in Division II to get drafted, let alone do it as a fifth year. So it was kind of like, this is my shot. This is, if this doesn't work, then we'll see. And even after the draft, I didn't even really ever consider indie ball up until the draft ended. And I'm like, okay, well, what's my next option? Like I either sit here and like wait for a free agent sign, or just go play and go put up numbers. That worked.
Yeah. That seemed to work great. So into the indie ball part, was it kind of like, did you have an agent that kind of said, hey, like we can get you on a team here? Or was it just like, shoot, like, I guess this is my other way to get to the affiliated ball.
I had an advisor at the time, that he sort of helped me through the draft process. It's just a guy that I met up with. He actually came to me in the Northwoods League, and just we talked for a bit and then just kind of kept in touch. And he just helped me out, and he actually helped me get to the River City as well.
Okay.
Just kind of, he called me one day and he was like, "Hey, they want you to come up and throw." Went up and threw a bullpen, and then kind of sat in the bullpen for 10 minutes while the coach and a couple guys, the catcher, and then like another guy stood in, and they went and talked and then came back and they were like, "Go ahead and go to the clubhouse. We'll get you a contract and stuff." So it was as easy as that. Just drive up to St. Louis, throw a bullpen and hang out. But
was that kind of nerve wracking? Just like sitting there being like, "All right, like I'm watching these guys talk about like if I'm going to be on the team or not."
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I was fine, really. Like I didn't, like, I kind of went up there, like, I'm going to, like, if I want to play, I'm going to play. I don't know why I had confidence like that. It just seemed like if I was driving up to throw a bullpen, they were going to be like, "Nah, go home."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, talk a little bit about the mental process of like, okay, you know, I just finished my senior season, didn't get drafted. Was it, you know, was it hard going into indie ball and thinking like, okay, like my chances are slim? Or was it like, let's do this, let's go all in indie ball, then pitch good, and we'll see what goes from there?
I didn't really know what to think of indie ball, because I mean, I knew nothing about it. I knew, like, I had a blast playing indie ball. It was like, I mean, like, you, if you get a chance, like if you don't get drafted or anything and you can go, just maybe even if you just go and do that for a year before you like get a job or whatever, like I'd say do it. It was some of the most fun baseball I've played, just because it is like, it's all on your own. You do what you want to do. You get the work in you need to get in, and it's fun, and everybody wants to win. No one's there for themselves, really, just because it is indie ball. It's not minor league ball. Minor league ball, you're more kind of there for you. Like the overall team doesn't really mean a whole lot to a lot of guys, because you're there to promote yourself, and not like, I mean, if your team wins 100 games a year, that doesn't do much for you. Unless you're doing well as also. But indie ball, like, yeah, like I said, I didn't really know what to expect. I just went in like, let's just throw well. I don't know if I'm going to sign in a week or if it's going to take me about a year, like it did. And it took me about a year. And I kind of, as the time went by, I thought more and more like, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to get a chance to play past here. Because I mean, you're just getting older and you're just more removed from college ball, and you're not like, you're not as enticing when you're not as young and all that, but just throw well. And someone saw me eventually.
So you talked about being, you know, like a, you know, getting older, you know, already being 4 years of college, and then, you know, you started to feel like you weren't going to get signed. Was that at the end of your first season, or was that your second season back?
Second. The first one, I was like, I'm going to play this out. And then I went into the off season thinking I'll go back if they want me to come back. And then was kind of mentally telling myself, like, I'll play this full year, and if nothing happens from that, I'll be done. And I'm glad I never had to make that decision, because I probably would have kept going. I wouldn't have wanted to be done, I'd say.
Yeah.
I'm glad I my career changed after midway through that second season of indie ball.
So in that season, you got picked up by the Cardinals. When did that kind of – was it just all of a sudden, or was it kind of like, hey, like, we're watching you, or
– so the scout that signed me is actually works like minor league front office with the Cardinals. He's not even really a scout. He's a his wife was a GM in River City, so he just kind of was in the area at games and stuff. And then they actually signed me after a start in Washington, Pennsylvania. So I think I threw like two and two thirds or something of a start, and then we got rain delayed. And then, like, minor league ball, you have a 30-minute rain delay. If you're pitching, you can't go back out. Like, as a rule, there's no rules like that in indie ball. So I it was like an hour. I figured normally if I say I'm good to go back out, I'd go back out, and they wouldn't let me, which I thought was kind of weird. And then after the game, I was like, the manager told me, and like with the whole team, that I was signing with the Cardinals, and then they called me about an hour after the fact. So pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
but so definitely. How quick was it from, like, you know, you just pitched your game with River City, and then all of a sudden, you know, how quick did you have to get on a plane, go to, I guess, Peoria or wherever for the Cardinals?
Yeah, so I was, my mom was actually up at the game, because I was coming home after that series for a wedding, and I was going to miss a series with River City. So I went home for the wedding, and then the Cardinals flew me back to St. Louis. I got my car and drove home, because my stuff was all in St. Louis still with River City. And then was it, I drove home, and then like the next morning flew out to Florida and went down the GCL. So it was like, with basically 3 days was like ride home from Pennsylvania, fly to St. Louis, drive back, then fly back to Florida.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was.
So what was the transition like, you know, from now, you know, you're in indie ball, you're, I guess I've heard from Josh Tolles, who was on our podcast, you know, like you're washing your own jersey after a game, you're, you know, you're getting all your equipment, you're getting your own lunch, you're showing up, you're pretty much showing up like a summer ball league where you have all your stuff, you show up and play.
Yeah. You're not, I mean, you're staying with the host family, at least in my case I was. So you're not making, I mean, you're not making enough money to pay rent at all.
Mm-hmm.
So with the host family. Yeah. I mean, they got us a gym membership. So there was a bunch of us, like three or four of us that we'd kind of like hang out there. We'd meet there like, before lunch, we'd meet there, work out a little bit, go to the field, BP game. Usually I'd make some lunch at my host family's, pack it, and then eat it at the field before BP. And then you get a spread after like dinner, just like anywhere else. Like same thing with like storm ball. It's like your pulled pork, your pizzas, your stuff like that. Nothing special. And then, we'd go back to the gym at night a lot and just, do whatever. Like depends if I was starting, obviously I wouldn't go before, but, stuff like that. Indie ball is, like I said, it was just, you do what you need to do for yourself. So, I mean, if you're taking care of yourself, you're going to be successful. If you're, I mean, guys doing whatever they want to do, showing up late. I mean, there's really nothing, as long as you're playing well, you're kind of can do whatever. So it's, you either take care of yourself or you don't. And if the guys that do, move on, maybe get a better job, a winter ball job, an indie ball job, and a different league that pays you more. An overseas job, or your minor league ball from there, or you're just kind of hanging out in the Frontier League for a while.
So how's the transition from that to now, even just in Peoria, where you're, you know, you got a locker full of equipment, you put it all on a loop and they wash it for you. You got, you know, probably a little bit better pregame and postgame spread. And then also just like the, I guess not strict rules, but like the, you know, fund, what is it? What I'm trying to say?
Like just like guidelines.
Setup. Yeah. The setup and the guidelines.
Yeah. Like you're throwing a bullpen, like in indie ball, if you throw a bullpen, you're go out there in shorts. You can go out there without a shirt on if you want. And you're not going to do that in low A even. Like you're in your pants, you're wearing a practice jersey, and it's definitely a lot more structured. Low A competition wise for me, like, I had an easier time throwing in low A than I did in indie ball. Wow. Low A was the younger guys who were going to be good. Indie ball was the guys who had already figured it out, but they've peaked. Mm-hmm. And they maybe or guys like me, like fresh out of college, the younger guys who have the talent that just were overlooked or didn't sign. And then there's the guys who maybe played in the minor leagues for 2 or 3 years and they're good hitters. They're going to hit 300, but they're not going to hit the homers. Or there's just a younger guy that's got a little bit more skill than they do.
Mm-hmm.
So indie ball, there's the disciplined hitters there. And then you get down to the lower levels, you got the younger guys, the free swingers. So I threw had better numbers in low A than I did in indie ball.
And cause you kind of cruised through your first season. You went what, from rookie to single A and single A advanced in your first season?
Yeah. I just threw once in high A from ball. Cause I was in Florida. So I just, mm-hmm. I just went over once, they needed an arm and threw a few innings. And then went to Peoria as a starter. And then my second year, I went, started high A all-star, and then double A, triple A, finished that year, triple A Memphis national championship.
So what is it like? I mean, like you know, within, I guess we'll go from like parts of 3 years, you go from indie ball for your second year where you, you know, before the season told yourself, okay, if this isn't it, like I'm going to be done at the end of the season, to now, you know, 2 years later, you're in triple A in the all-star.
Yeah,
or not an all-star, in the championship.
Yeah, it was. So I signed from indie ball in June of 17. So like early June of 2017, I was just like on a rotation in indie ball. And mm-hmm. then by September of 18, that was the AAA national championship. So that was definitely, that 2018 was a crazy year, almost more than 17, even just when I signed with the Cardinals, because 18 was like, okay, like I'm going to spring training out of A ball. Hopefully I make the high A roster. And then I threw well in high A, All-Star game. And then right after the All-Star game, I went to Double-A. And then I was doing decent in Double-A. And then it was like six starts, and I went up to Triple-A. And then Triple-A there up. And that Memphis team was probably one of the better teams in minor league baseball the last 10 or so years. Just, I mean, they hit it really well. They threw it well. I jumped in the rotation at the fifth spot. There was a, that year there was a lot of big league injuries. So we had a bunch of, a few starting pitchers debut. Like, I think I went up when Gomber and Ponce de Leon debuted.
Okay.
Weekend, I went up. They were both debuting in the big leagues. And, yeah, that was crazy. That, I mean, I showed up there and, like, my first game in AAA was in Vegas. So I threw, like, a Thursday night game in Vegas. And, like, Pete Alonso and Dom Smith were on that team. And so, I mean, it just went from high A to all of a sudden you're facing guys who were in 2019, like, really good big leaguers.
Big dudes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But was it nice just kind of, like, or I guess not nice to say in the comfort sense, but, like, just nice to be, like, man, like, this bet on myself of going back, you know, after the Red Sox offered you a little deal, you know, your junior year, going back your senior year, not getting drafted, going indie ball. Was it nice to kind of be like, man, like I'm in the AAA AAA championship and yeah. I was an undrafted senior when mm-hmm. indie ball.
Yeah. I like to sort of look at myself as like I said, overlooked or kind of, I was always just like a little bit under the radar, even through like high school. I just felt like, I mean, the guys in the area that were signing with schools better than the school I was going to, I felt like I'd played with them or against them since I was a kid. And we were, I was at least as good as they were, you know, like you look at yourself that way. And you're going to think you probably look at yourself better than you actually are sometimes, which is a good thing. I think it helps you be a little bit more confident, but
definitely
just, I mean, I never stopped betting on myself, never stopped, like believing that like I'm not here now, but I should be and I will be. And I think that helps everything. And it definitely was cool to see it kind of develop a lot quicker than I thought it would after indie ball. Like I didn't think, like you couldn't have told me that I'd be in the rotation in AAA in my first full year of minor league baseball.
So it's crazy because I mean, like, you know, once you get drafted or you're in, you know, pro ball, everyone, you know, there's guys that obviously say like a Vanderbilt starter versus, you know, you, a D2 pitcher. And like, you know, of course, like the first round guys might have a few more chances, but like everyone's got the same chance. Like you're going to get to AAA faster than this Vanderbilt starter might, or, you know,
he might get cut. Yeah. I think, I'm not sure about other organizations that have only played with one, but I think the Cardinals do well at kind of, once you're at least, especially once you're in Double A, like that's all out of the window. Like they don't really give a damn when you signed or where you went to college. Once you're there, maybe the lower levels. Like I mean, obviously, like I looked at it too when I signed with the Cardinals. Like if I'm jumping in the A ball in the rotation, if I'm not throwing well here, like I'll probably be released. And like if I had a bad month that early in my minor league career, I probably wouldn't have lasted that long. Cause I mean, I saw that happen in indie ball. I saw guys in my indie ball team sign and then like they're with me in indie ball in May, they sign in early May and then they're back by July. They had already played their minor league career and gotten released and back in indie ball. So definitely a quick trigger sometimes. I don't know if that was the plan for me, if it's kind of like throw you to the wolves, here you go. But it kind of seems like that's what happens with indie ball guys sometimes.
Yeah. Do you think that pressure helped you, you know, just knowing like, okay, like, not obviously I have to be picture perfect, but like I've got pressure and let's see what I can do.
Yeah, I think it helps. I mean, I definitely, like I wasn't comfortable. I was not comfortable there, like in A ball. Like once I got into a groove, I was comfortable while I was on the mound, but I was not like, felt like I was secure. Like I was definitely going to be in spring training next year, you know, I just kind of had to, just keep putting up numbers, keep doing it and keep doing what I could do.
So fast forward a little bit, you know, you said you're in the championship, you had what, two All-Stars by 2019.
Yeah.
You know, looking over, you know, after your career, or not after your career, but like looking past this now, what's kind of like something, like you said, you know, just being like underlooked, what's something that helped you or overlooked that just helped you, you know, trust the process, trust that, like I've said, you know, you went from undrafted, what's kind of something that helped you just like trust yourself and like not, you know, second guess it?
Just to like take it step by step, like take it into like we're at a D2. Now we're in the Northwoods League. That's a little step up. And then now we're undrafted. Now we maybe took a step back a little bit. We don't know where to go next. Now we're indie ball, we're playing again. So we're back on track and then just working up the steps from there.
And I guess just knowing that just the process isn't necessarily going to be a straight line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely hard. Like, so 2018 finished in AAA, 2019 started in AA. And not that AA, AAA is really like you're falling backwards a whole lot, but it still feels like a step back. And it kind of, and I mean, you look at what that AAA rotation was last year, they're all in the big leagues. Like they were a bunch of guys up there, but I just felt like I should be there. And it pissed me off a little bit, obviously. And then going to like that year, like I started out pretty slow in 2019. Like I had a bad like April and then turned it around in May. And I just think part of that was like, I was just a little bitter. And when I'm bitter, I don't throw well, but when I get comfortable at a spot, I throw really well. Just like where I'm happy where I'm at. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm here. Like I just, all I'm worried about is every fifth day and just going out there and doing my thing. And then I'll go up when I go up, or I'll stay here the rest of the year and then start again next year.
That's awesome. So talk me through a little bit, you know, I guess the night before your start to your start routine.
Night before, I always say too, I worry about sleep, like getting the most sleep, like not the night before, but two nights before my start. Mm-hmm. Like I can get, I mean, obviously you want to sleep okay at least the night before your start. But I've noticed that if I have like a bad night's sleep 2 days before, I won't feel as great for my start. So okay. I'll focus, it kind of starts then, I guess. So I'll focus on that. And then, I don't know, start day is pretty simple at the field. Like I'm not someone who can just like lay on the couch up until like an hour and a half before my start, then go like roll out and do some bands or something and, get my body going a little bit, hop in the shower, get dressed and go out to the field. Like I'm kind of pacing around, not like uncomfortably pacing around or nervously, just like I'm ready to go, more anxious to get started, I think.
Yeah.
Like, just checking the clock, it's 2 hours for a game time and you're ready to get loose, you know? So I think it's more of that. I always kind of just have something, like I won't eat spread like before the game that day. It's usually like a PB&J, some fruit, a bag of chips or something, just not a whole lot of food, something pretty simple. Get on the, like I said, I'll go like roll out, do some, like some correctives and stuff like that in the weight room. And then, probably about 45 minutes before, hop in the shower, get dressed, go out to the field and do my on-field thing. I'm like a 120 guy before I get on the mound. So
okay,
kind of a quick catch and then like get out to 120 pretty quick, take some throws out there and then work my way back in, hop on the mound. I throw a lot on the mound. When you throw, I mean, I'm going to throw two fastballs, two breaking balls and a changeup. So if you're throwing five separate pitches, you got to, maybe half of those are fastballs and you got, if you throw 15 more, you got three or four pitches each, you know? So I feel like I throw about 30 ish before a game.
So you don't have any set kind of like, oh, I do like this certain, I mean, not even time wise, but like this certain stretching the night before, or even like the morning of, or like meditating, cold bath, like nothing kind of exact that you like have to do.
Not really. You know, I mean, I feel like I used to have a lot of those things and then it just seems like when one of those goes wrong, like, You're over 24 hours before your start and you're like, oh, I need like a cold bath right now or something like that. And you don't get it. Then you feel like something's going wrong before you're even at the field before your start. So I feel like those things used to kind of stress me out. Like I used to like wear the same pair of shoes to the field, like the day I was starting, like in college and stuff. And just like, I don't know, I used to eat like the same breakfast in college because we played morning or like noon games. So it was kind of like breakfast was your meal before. And like if there sometimes there'd be nights before where I'm like missing part of the breakfast and then I got to like go to the grocery store at 10 o'clock or something the night before it starts. Nice. So yeah, you kind of like, it was easier to push those things off and just worry about like more of a routine within like the couple hours before you get to the field versus like the 48 hours beforehand.
So with that being said though, is there anything kind of like that you really do like recommend, you know, for everyone that's a pitcher or even a position player, but like just kind of try this out, like you said, like an ice bath or, you know, something that you recommend, like, okay, like maybe I don't do it every day or every start, but like this is something that I did like doing.
Mentally, I like visualization. Like maybe you just like, if you're laying in bed the night before, you see yourself executing, like for me, like that left on left changeup, like maybe a pitch that I don't throw a whole lot. And if I do, I don't execute it a whole lot. Or like for me, I think like being able to throw my curveball for a strike is big. So like you just like as simple as like seeing yourself throw that pitch and like maybe the batter swings and misses, maybe he takes it, maybe it's a ground ball, just seeing success before. I also like after starts like to keep a notebook. I'll kind of just like I'll jot down like the lineup, my box score, and just like little notes on the hitters, like maybe like what I did well against this guy, what I threw that he hit, maybe certain spots or holes in his swing that I saw, maybe certain strengths I saw of his, and just like have that down. And then like you play in the Texas League, you play pretty much the same four teams over and over again. Cause it's split north, like split two different parts of the league, but it's only an 18 league. So you play the same, like you're four, you play that same side a lot. So I had a handful of starts, probably six or seven against Northwest Arkansas. So it's the Royals, and they hit like five to six lefties off me a lot. And then if there's a righty on the mound, they're hitting seven or eight sometimes. Mm-hmm. So just a team like that, like you get to know the batters, and the batter may be like this person in the first half of the year. Like there's a kid there, Nick Heath, you probably know who he is. Like,
yeah,
I feel like I had his number in the first half, and then by the second half of the year, like he was a completely different hitter and he was hitting it really well. And then he debuted last year, you know?
Dang. So
just guys like that, you see, maybe they are struggling early and then you have all this stuff on them. You think you got them, and then you see them again 2 weeks later and they're a completely different hitter. So that's why I do it after every start. Then you can kind of compare the two. I think that helps just kind of, and even on that, I'm not just looking at the lineup. I'm also seeing like what I did well or what I didn't do well. So I mean, as much as like pitching versus that to like the run game to if I like made an error in the field, just stuff like that, just jotting down like the good and the bad just to go over it. And I know hitters do that as well.
Yeah. And so two questions on that, you know, first, is that journal just for games, or do you like, you know, maybe higher intent days, like a bullpen, you'll take notes in that too?
I feel like I just take mental notes on a bullpen. I normally just write about the games. I would even go back and watch games sometimes, like if I had time, just go and not like watch the whole thing, but just kind of like find certain at bats that I knew I wanted to watch. Like maybe someone had like an 8-10 pitch at bat off me, and I just wanted to see like what could I have done to like end that, you know, like instead of throwing 8 or 10, I throw 4, just a little thing.
And then also, you know, say like, you know, that season ends the next season, do you bring that notebook with you, or is it just kind of like new season, new?
I'd take it. Like, I mean, that thing's in my backpack, and like the backpack I take everywhere I go, it just kind of, it's always there.
Yeah.
So not something I'm like, I'm not going to check it out every day, but I'll look at it a lot more during the season. Definitely. And at this point, you get to the higher levels in your career too, you're going to face the same hitters a lot. Cause, or even just moving up in the minors, if you're moving up pretty much like level by level, maybe one or two levels a year, a lot of guys are doing that. So you might see there's guys that I'm sure I face in three or four levels by now.
Yeah. So are you big into any certain like diet or, I know you're not big into any routines, but are you big to like diets as in like, you know, supplements or just like meal nutrition, any of that?
Supplements. Yeah. Just the stuff that we have. I mean, the stuff that's given to us, I wouldn't say I take it religiously, but it's definitely something that I take advantage of. I mean, little stuff, protein, the creatine, and then like all the fish oils, the multivitamins, just healthy things, not even necessarily like performance enhancing, supplements, but just things to stay healthy. And then, diet wise, like I haven't, for about a year and a half now, I haven't had meat. I haven't been eating meat.
Okay.
I don't know. Like it was just something I was going to try to start, I was going to try to start, and then, just kind of stuck. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'll eat fish, but I just feel like it's forced me to like work with more vegetables and more, just kind of like it's expanded my diet a little bit instead of eating like a chicken and rice or something, you know, like you, and I don't feel like it's like I've lose out on the protein. I lose out on the strength. Like I've my body fat, my muscle mass has stayed pretty remotely the same, gotten a little bit better. So wow. It's not killing me,
but yeah.
Yeah.
Was there any teammate or anyone that kind of like persuaded you to try that?
I had like done a little bit here and there before. My girlfriend, she's vegetarian as well. So, that helped. It did help to have someone like to kind of do it with.
And so I'm guessing now it's like plant-based protein and all that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll still do like the whey protein. I'm not vegan.
Okay.
Couldn't do that either. Like can't afford that or couldn't do it as I think just kind of both.
Wow.
You know, I worried at first about like not getting the protein, but I just kind of like make sure I get those things. Like I'll eat eggs. I'll do dairy, and I eat fish. So you can get them in those ways.
So it's mainly just no red meat.
Pretty much red meat and poultry. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So to wrap this up, I'm trying to think, is there one like teammate that you just had that's like, not to say like a clubhouse clown, but like just one teammate that's like, man, like if I can play with this guy, like every single level, like if I can be his locker mate, like everywhere I go, that you would love to have.
A guy that I just played with him kind of briefly when he was like back and forth big leagues, John Brebbia. I always like,
okay. That'll
be what I say all the time. I just thought he was like one of the funniest dudes ever. Like he's just goofy. He's super smart too. So like, he's like the goofy smart type and not even like me and him aren't like good friends or anything. I just, he had a cool story too. He got drafted, played a little bit, went to indie ball, came back. Now he's in the big leagues and he should be in the big leagues should have a good career up there. But yeah, he was just a good guy to be around in the clubhouse. Kind of like made everybody laugh. Smart guy. He'd love to help you out in any way he could. Tommy Lane was another guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just an older guy, to like a cool guy to be around, the lefty that like, I was like, I want to play catch with you and like learn how you manipulating your fastball. He's going like a four seamer, a cutter and a sinker and just figure out that. Yeah. Just cool stuff like that. Guys you can learn from and then guys that are just fun to be around.
Definitely. That's awesome. Well, I wanted to thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Before we sign off on this episode, I wanted to let y'all know that we do have Mound Talk podcast stickers available, and to get yours, reach out to us on social media. For more on Austin Warner, his Instagram is at AustinWarner426, and for us Mound Talk podcast, you can search Mound Talk podcast on social media. Thanks again.